I have said leads up to what I want to say today. You got to read it. You have to read the Bible. So these last five weeks, I've been trying to convince you that it's worth our read. It's worth our time. I've tried to reason with you that, hey, a God who loves us, a God who created us, it makes sense to me that he would somehow communicate his will and his word to us, that he would let us in on the plan that he has for us. I went through a little synopsis of what the Bible is all about. God created this perfect place for human beings where he and human beings could have this uninterrupted fellowship. We messed it up with sin. And the Bible is essentially the story of how God is going to bring that relationship back. And of course, that's accomplished through Jesus Christ and his sacrifice that we celebrate weekly. I've made the claim that the Bible is inspired by God, that it is God-breathed. Now, I know for the most part that's a mystery to try to understand what inspiration means, but the Bible makes that claim that it is God's Word. When we read the Bible, we are reading the words and the thoughts of God. That's what inspiration means. I've talked about why the books that are in the Bible are in the Bible, and why there are some books that are not in the Bible, and why they're not in the Bible. And, you know, to boil it down, I said it's kind of easy to distinguish the authentic books from the non-authentic books, almost as easy as it is to distinguish Monopoly money from real money. There's a reason why those other books are not in the Bible. So I've made the claim that we can read the Bible with confidence, believing that the books that are in the Bible, the ones that are supposed to be in the Bible, and those that have been excluded, there's very good reason why they have been excluded. I've discussed the confidence that we can have when it comes to the Bible's text, as it has been accurately preserved from the original authors. We have manuscripts upon manuscripts of the New Testament documents, and even Old Testament documents. The gap between the manuscripts that we have and the original composition, yeah, we don't have the originals, we don't have what are called the autographs, but that gap there is remarkably small for a document, for a book of antiquity like the Bible. In fact, you compare it to other books of antiquity, and the Bible's textual evidence is head and shoulders above any other book. And so all of this, if you have any questions about the Bible, anything I've talked about in these last 4 weeks, inspiration, the canon, the textual transmission, all of those fun things, then please let me know. But all of that leads up to this: you have to read the Bible. I mean, it's no good if we believe that it's inspired. It's no good if we believe that, yeah, we have the books that we're supposed to have. It's no good to believe or understand that the text is accurate if we don't read the Bible. Here are some things that people have said about reading the Bible. First, I want you to know that we don't read the Bible to prepare for a test. We read the Bible to know God. This is a quote from James Merritt. He says, "The primary purpose of reading the Bible is not to know the Bible, but to know God." Right? Jesus says in his prayer in John chapter 17, "Eternal life is to know you, God the Father, and to know Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." And so it's in the Bible that we see the heart of God, the will of God. It's in the Bible that we get to know the God who created us. This is not a once-a-week discipline. Glad you're here Sunday morning. I share some of the Bible with you, but this is not just a once-a-week discipline. Bible reading needs to be a regular discipline, and I would say it needs to be a daily discipline in the life of a follower of Jesus. This is what Billy Graham said: "The very practice of reading the Bible will have a purifying effect upon your mind and heart. Let nothing take the place of this daily exercise." This has got to be part of the rhythm of our life, reading the Bible daily. Charles Spurgeon said this: "Nobody ever outgrows Scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. And so reading the Bible is not just for new Christians. Reading the Bible is for old Christians like me as well. It's for new, it's for old, it's for everyone in between. I mean, those of you my age and old, you know when you go to the Bible, yeah, you may have read something before, but because of your life experience, because of the circumstance that you're in right now, I mean, the Bible just continues to deliver, doesn't it? It continues to deliver words of wisdom and guidance to us. We have to read it. If you hear anything today, read the Bible. If I can nudge you to become a daily Bible reader, then man, I have done my job. Read it. You gotta read it. Here's what the Bible says. There are benefits to reading the Bible. And this is kind of rapid fire. All of these are in the notes if you want to review those later on. But this is what the Bible says are some of the benefits of reading the Bible. Romans 10, 17. Consequently, faith, this assurance that we have that God exists, and this trust that we live in, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Bible reading will deepen your faith. You'll be more and more assured that God exists. You'll know the plan of God more and more. You'll give your life over to the will of God more and more as we read the Bible. John 17, 7. This is the prayer of Jesus near the end of his life. He says, sanctify them, set them apart, make them holy in the truth. Your word is truth. So Bible reading will help you discern truth from lies. And there's a lot of false stuff out there in our world. There are a lot of lies that you are being told daily about who God is, about who we are, about what this world is all about. The Bible will help you discern what is real, what is fake, what is true, and what is a lie. Psalm 119, that beautiful psalm. I encourage you to read Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter in the Bible, the longest psalm, and it's all in praise of the Word of God. Psalm 119, 11. I have thought much about your words and stored them in my heart so that we would hold me back from sin. You struggle with sin? Are you tempted? Join the crowd. Everyone is. Everyone is tempted. The Bible can help us resist sin. Sin is destructive in your life. Sin is going to hurt you. Sin is going to draw you further away from God. The Bible is going to help you resist sin. That's what Jesus did. We looked at that in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was tempted. How did he resist? He went to the Bible. He went to his scriptures. He went to the book of Deuteronomy. Isaiah 40 and verse 8, the Bible will remind you that things of God are eternal. The grass withers, grass dries up, and the flowers wither, but our God's word will last forever. This is one of my favorite verses. Let me tell you a story about why. When I was younger, one of my first Bibles was the New American Standard Bible. I'm going to talk a little bit about Bible translations in a little bit. And I remember on the title page, this scripture, Isaiah 40 and verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord abides forever. That's the NASB translation of that verse. I've got this plaque in my office. I mean, the Bible will remind you that this life is not all that there is. It will remind you that all of these problems that we're experiencing, they're all going to be over someday. The Bible reminds you that there are some things that are eternal. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, the Bible will help you discern your own motives. You know, sometimes I don't even know why I think or I do what I do, but the Bible will help clarify my motives. Ephesians 4, 12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Heart can be deceiving. And a lot of times we feel like we're led by our heart, led by our feelings. Go to the Word of God and it will help you discern. Is this my feeling, or is this the feeling of the age, or is this really truth? The Bible can take those struggles that we have and dissect them and cut away the lies and reveal to us the truth. The Bible, what do you got to do? You got to read it. Say it again. You got to read it. You got to read it. I mean, it's amazing. It's wonderful. It's God's word, but it's no good if we don't read it. So the rest of my time, I'm just going to tell you how to read it. I'm going to continue to encourage you to read it. You have to have a strategy. You have to say to yourself, I'm going to do this. This is going to be who I am. This is going to be part of my life. And so let's talk about some strategy, how we can make the Bible, the wonderful words of life, God's Word, a part of our daily life. First of all, you got to find a good translation. Use a good translation. And there are many, many English translations. Man, you grew up, when I was a kid, there were like two or three English translations. You grew up in the 1800s, 1900s, early 1900s. There was basically just one King James Version. That was the translation from 1611 to the early 20th century. Now we are blessed with so many wonderful English translations. This is not a comprehensive list of good English translations. You're probably familiar with these. Let me just run through these just real quickly. New International Version. That's kind of my go-to translation of the Bible. Bible is not written in English. Old Testament was written in Hebrew, biblical Hebrew. It's a dead language. So if you go to Israel, they're not speaking the language of the Bible. There are some similarities. Written in biblical Hebrew, and some parts were written in Aramaic, a cousin language to Hebrew, so to speak. The New Testament was written in Greek. Greek was the language of the world, the language of the civilized world in the first century. Again, it's written in a Greek that is not modern Greek. It's called Koine Greek, or Koine means common. It was written in common, everyday language, but a language that most of that Mediterranean world knew. It was accessible to people. But it's had to have been translated, and so it's translated into English in several of these translations. New International Version, again, it's the best-selling, the go-to translation that I use. It's our Pew Bibles have the New International Version. I don't think you can go wrong with the New International Version. Another translation that I like, the New Living Translation. Another translation called the Christian Standard Bible. It used to be called the Holman Standard Bible, I think, but they've renamed it with a new edition of that. King James Version, hey, that's a good one too, isn't it? King James Version is a legitimate, is a good translation of the Bible. There's a New King James Version that kind of eliminates all the these and the thous and updates some of the language. Original King James Version was translated in 1611. The English language is a living language, and so what one word meant in 1611 doesn't necessarily mean the same thing in 2022. So it's been updated with the New King James Version. All of those are good translations of the Bible. The bottom three, English Standard Version of the Bible, great translation of the Bible, New American Standard Bible. That's kind of the one that I grew up on. Revised Standard Version, that was my mom's favorite, if that means anything to you. I don't know why, but my mom loved the Revised Standard of the Version. I grouped those together because those translating from one language to another, it's not as if you can just, here's a word translated in English, here's a word translated in English. If you've taken any foreign language, you know that you don't do that. The syntax is just different from one language to another. And so there are different translation philosophies. English Standard Version, New American Standard Bible, Revised Standard Version, they're what are considered more literal translations. In other words, they try the best that they can to go word for word. So here's a Greek word, here's the English word. Here's the Greek word, here's the English word. They do have to rearrange it because the order of verbs and nouns are different in the English language than it is in, well, just about any language. But in Greek, we just rearrange things, we order things differently. But those last three that I have listed there try a more literal approach. That's their philosophy. New International Version, they think, hey, what we want to do is we want to take a Greek phrase and we want to rephrase it in English that is carrying that same meaning. And so there's a little bit more, I don't want to say freedom, but that may be the best word to use in translations like the New International Version. So I had a conversation this week, an email conversation with someone who was asking, well, I've heard that this Bible is more accurate than that Bible. And if by accuracy you mean literal, English Standard Version, New American Standard Bible, Revised Standard Version, if literal, word for word, is what you mean, then those are the translations that are more accurate. If you are talking about accuracy in taking a Greek phrase and rewording it in English in a way that is means the same thing to us as it meant to the original readers, then those other translations use that philosophy. I'm sure you're all interested. I'm up here talking. I'm thinking, no one really cares about this, do they? I care about it. I think you ought to care about it as well. The point is, you need to use a good, reliable translation. All of these translations are made by a group of biblical scholars. I mean, these people devote their lives to Hebrew, Aramaic, Greek. They devote themselves to translating the Bible. And they work together. And so there is an editorial board that will oversee the translations that are listed here, and others as well. And so you have theologians, biblical scholars from different backgrounds that are contributing, and then you have a general, an editorial board that's making sure that these translations don't veer from one side to another, or they emphasize a certain denominational leaning or a denominational teaching. And so they try to present it in such a way that we're hearing the true word of God as it was written in Hebrew and Greek. Let me just say a couple of words about paraphrases. There are some great paraphrases of the Bible, and one that I use often is The Message. You see me quoting that quite a bit. The Message is a translation by one man, Eugene Peterson, godly, devoted man. I love The Message paraphrase or translation. Don't even know what word actually to use for that. But it's written by one guy, and it's a very loose translation of the Bible. And so his philosophy is, I'm going to take this paragraph and I'm going to reword it using a lot of freedom in rewording it to try to communicate the same message that was communicated in the Greek. There's another translation called the Passion Translation that's been referred to a few times up here. Again, translated by one person. The Passion Translation has a lot of additional language, a lot of additional words, and the Passion Translation, there's a lot of commentary in that translation as well, again, translated by one person. Am I saying, stay away from them? I'm not saying stay away from them. But as you engage in Bible study, I would recommend any translation that is by one person or by one denomination that is a paraphrase, to use that as a secondary resource rather than a primary resource, that I would recommend any of these translations. All right, find yourself a good translation of the Bible. Make sure you're using a good translation. And you got to get some tools. Man, if you want to be good at Bible study, if you want to be good at Bible reading, you got to get some tools. Within the last 5 or 10 years, I've dabbled a little bit in home improvement, and I know those of you that know what you're doing, you look at me and you think, yeah, right, I'd like to see some of the work that you've done. And, I don't want you to inspect my work, but you know what I've done over the last 5 or 10 years? I've invested in some tools. I got some saws. I got some better drill. I've got some things, and I'm able to do some things now that I never thought I would be able to do 10, 15, 20 years ago. You know, I'd get out the old saw, and I'm sawing. I'm killing myself, and I got ever seen one of those little miter boxes that you have, and I'm trying to cut the angles, and I'm thinking, you know, maybe there's a better way. So I've got some tools, and I'm more effective. Professional? No, but I can do some things. Same thing with Bible reading. You got to get some tools. You got to have tools to help us bridge the gap between the language, Greek to English. And not only do we have this language gap, the Bible was written 2,000 years ago to a totally different culture. People thought differently than we think in America in 2022. There are all different kinds of customs and traditions. There's different currency. And so these tools will help us bridge that gap from the first century to now. So here are some tools that I would suggest that you, as a responsible Bible student, have. I got to keep an eye on the time because I love this stuff. I could go for hours on this. All right, we still got time. You with me? All right, I've gone complete total Bible nerd on you. As you can see, I've got some books down here that I invite you to come look at later on if you want to look at some of those tools. One tool is a good Bible dictionary. Oh, excuse me, before I go to Bible dictionary, a study Bible. All right, a study Bible is invaluable for us to try to understand who wrote the book, what was the occasion of the book, why they wrote the book, some of the themes that are in the book that scholars have uncovered in studying that book of the Bible. It'll give us an outline, give you an outline of the book of the Bible. And so a study Bible is very, very valuable in helping us with that introductory material. And then in a study Bible, and you can look at one, I have the NIV study Bible here, which I would recommend. It's got the text of the Bible, but then underneath, it'll have all kinds of notes that are explanatory notes, cross-references to other scriptures that relate to that scripture. If it's talking about some cultural phenomenon in the first century, it'll explain that to you. There'll be maps, there'll be charts. Man, it's just an amazing, amazing tool for us to understand the world that the Bible was written in. So I got the NIV study Bible here. I've never used the ESV study Bible, but I understand that comes with great reviews as well. Find yourself a good study Bible. One word of warning as you look for a Bible study, and I don't want to disparage any person, so I'm not going to mention any names, but if there's a study Bible that has someone's name attached to it, like if I created a study Bible, the Todd Cato study Bible, well, of course, that would be good, but it would be my opinion, you know? It would be my thoughts. It would be my leanings. It would be from my point of view. There are several study Bibles that bear the name of a person, a biblical scholar. You may love that person, and I'm not saying that that can't be a tool, but something like the NIV study Bible, again, it's a board of people. It's a group of biblical scholars, and what they're trying to avoid is to look at a passage and try to teach a certain denominational approach to that scripture. They'll give you a wide range of how historically Christians have interpreted that. So just a little word of warning when you're choosing a study Bible. A Bible dictionary. It is what it is, a Bible dictionary. You look up words, but it's more than a dictionary. A Bible dictionary is kind of like a cross between a dictionary and an encyclopedia. You're reading through the conquest of Canaan, and you want to learn more about Jericho. Well, there'll be articles about cities like that. You want to learn what a denarius is. When you run across that, you can look it up. It will define what a denarius is. And so you can explore deeper some of those words and concepts that are in the Bible. Commentaries for deeper study. A commentary is a book that's devoted to one particular book of the Bible. You study in the book of John, well, you can get a commentary, and it's a verse-by-verse commentary on whatever book of the Bible that you're studying. Again, I would recommend, if you're looking for a commentary, I'm available. Basil, any of us are available to give you recommendations on commentaries. I would recommend that you get a commentary that's part of a series. And again, that series, there's an editorial board, there's a wide range of scholarship informing that commentary, rather than just Todd Cato's commentary on the book of Romans. That's going to be my point of view. I got all of these, and I'll go down there later and show you some of those as well. All right, online tools. Man, we live in such an incredible world that we have so many online tools that we can use, valuable tools, but let me warn you, if you search, what's the meaning of John 17:13? You can Google that, and there's about a bazillion people that have ideas on what John 17:3 means. And you may not know from one website to another who's reliable, who you can really trust, what background they're from, what they're trying to teach. And so just be wary online. I'll give you some advice here as you go online and particular websites that you can use and Bibles that you can use. One, I know a lot of you have the YouVersion Bible on your phone. You got that? I'm going to open up my YouVersion Bible to the phone right now. I've got it under my little church folder. There it is. The Holy Bible, that's the logo for that app. If you don't have that app, this is amazing. It is absolutely free. There are no ads on this app, it is a treasure. I mean, it is amazing. You got to have the YouVersion app on your phones. If you go to the home screen, one thing that it does, not only does it have the text of the Bible, it has lots of different translations. I think it has like 70 different translations, English translations of the Bible. And again, just beware of some of these translations. I don't want to sound like I'm scaring you or anything, but just recognize the different translation philosophy. But, you know, I open mine up, I'm signed in, says, "Good morning, Todd." Isn't that nice? It knows my name. And then it has a verse of the day. You can read that verse and you can follow that. This is incredible. It's right there on our phones. You can hit the little video and it has someone that'll read that verse to you, have a little commentary on that verse, and then there'll be a little devotional thought on that verse. It'll provide you with an image that you can upload to your social media. And I know that some of you are using the YouVersion Bible because I get online, I get on Facebook, and I see that you've posted the verse of the day that I read that morning. So kudos to you. Congratulations. Keep doing that. So it takes like 10 minutes maybe just to get some Bible in you, to get a devotional thought. This isn't really Bible study, it's a devotional. There's a difference between devotional and Bible study. A devotional is just kind of like a shot in the arm, and I'm going to get into Bible study, which is really digging deep into the text. But man, this is a great, great resource, YouVersion of the Bible. There are reading plans that you can subscribe to. You can read through the whole Bible. Play with this when you get home. There are for men, for women, for anxiety, for people going through divorce, for all different situations in life, these reading plans. Some of them are just a few days. Some of them are a month long. And then, of course, there's links also to yearly Bible readings as well. What do you got to do, folks? You got to read it. You got to get into the Bible. And here's an amazing place to start. Man, I got to really go quick here. There's a website I would recommend to you, Bible Gateway. I don't like their app. Maybe you do. A lot of ads on their app. Not real pretty. So I would go to BibleGateway.com. Nick, call that up. We've got a little demonstration for you. Let's see if we have it up there. This is BibleGateway.com. Up there in the little search, I searched John 17 since I referenced it a few times. Over to the right, that's the New English Translation. By the way, that's another very good translation. But hit that drop-down menu by the translations to the right by the magnifying glass. Look at it's all the different translations that you can choose from, all the English translations. Again, a great resource, and this is from the website. So the website I would recommend, not so much the app. One thing that's really cool about Bible Gateway is that this is all free, but you can do Bible Gateway Plus. By the way, I'm not getting any kickback by recommending this. I'm not a salesperson for Bible Gateway, but for $4.99 a month, you can have access to all of these tools, not exactly those tools, but tools just like that, right there on your computer. Bible dictionaries, commentaries. You can even read the Greek and the Hebrew if you want to for $4.99 a month. And I bet that you pay more for some streaming services at your home than that $4.99 a month. And I think it's like $50 if you want a yearly subscription. There's a 14-day free trial. And man, you have so many tools at your fingertips right there on Bible Gateway Plus. You may want to give that a try. So let's move on. Another app that I like is called Olive Tree. I like the app. It's very clean. It has the text of the Bible. One thing good about Olive Tree is that you can buy individual resources. Like you can buy a Bible dictionary. You don't have to pay a monthly fee. You pay the full price for the Bible dictionary, but you have it on your phone. You have it as one of your resources. You can buy commentaries. You have it on your phone. You have it right there. You can go to the computer and also have that access. Of course, they sync like everything does these days. But Olive Tree is another good app that I would recommend to you. Podcasts. I've been listening to more podcasts lately. There's a I've not listened to this one, but I know of people that are using it and speak very favorably of it, the Bible Recap. It's going through the Bible. It interfaces with YouVersion translation of the Bible, and it's about a 15 to 20-minute devotional, very well thought out. And it's more than a devotional. This is actually getting into Bible study, looking at the cultural context and things like that. I see you drifting away. What do you got to do? You got to read it. All right, we'll wake you up every now and then. The Bible Recap, search that on your computer. I like Think Biblically. It's a podcast. It's not a Bible study podcast. It just looks at all the different cultural issues that we face in our world. It's a very theologically conservative podcast. Great guests, great recommendations of books. The Bible. Think Biblically. And then Lance has a website for men, Champion Hope. Look that up, and he has a great guest challenging men to live into their role as Christian men. All right, reading options. I still got some time. What do we got to do? Read it. Reading options. You can go through the Bible in a year. What is it? October 23rd? New Year's coming, maybe a New Year's resolution for you. I want to read the Bible through in a year. Let me go down to my table here and show you some year-long Bibles. There's all different ways that these are arranged. You can read the Bible just from Genesis to Revelation. And just every day, it's mapped out for you. This is what you need to read for the day. It's essentially just the biblical text, maybe some commentary. But if you've never read through the Bible in a year, man, you need to do that before you die. I think God's going to ask you if you did that. So you can read it through, just Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, canonically, as you might say. There are other chronological Bibles. The Bible is not written in chronological order for the most part, but not strictly chronological. And so this will take you through the Bible as it happens from creation all the way through the New Testament. And so you may be jumping from book to book. When you're reading some of the letters of Paul, it may interject some of the things that are written in Acts that are concurrent with those writings of Paul. And so there's chronological Bible. And then there's another one-year Bible. This is really helpful when you're reading through books like Leviticus that you're like, I got to keep my eyelids open. I never have to do that, of course. What Douglas say? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard, but it's worth it. But this one-year Bible, you'll read part of the Old Testament, part of the New Testament, and then they'll give you Psalms, Proverbs, or some wisdom literature. So when you're in Leviticus, I'm going to make it through Leviticus because I'm going to be reading about Jesus healing somebody. And so I could make it through it. So that's another way that takes you through the Bible. What else do I have up here while I'm here? Now I'm real geeky. I got my Greek New Testament. If you want to look and see what Greek looks like. This is from my freshman year in college. I spilled Coke all over it, so it's sticky. That's the way it is. Got a Hebrew Bible here. Don't know much Hebrew, but if you just want to see the text of Hebrew. I've got a commentary here that I would recommend. This is a series of commentaries. I've got my NIV study Bible here. I've got a Bible dictionary. Just a random resource book, Bible charts, maps, things like that are valuable. Oops. What else do I have? Core 52. One of our DMCs is doing Core 52. And this takes you through the year, 52 significant passages in the Bible. I've got to get back here to my notes. All right. Choose a book of the Bible if you're not going to read it through the year. I thought about this. What other book do we pick up and say, I need to read it by? We never do that. We just pick up a novel and we read it, don't we? Well, can't we do that with the Bible? Hey, I want to read through Ephesians. You know, set a timetable, have some discipline. I'm going to read it on Thursday mornings or whatever it might be. But that way you can read through a book of the Bible. You can get a Bible dictionary. You can get a commentary. Just really settle in on a book of the Bible rather than trying to finish the Bible in a year. Right Now Media, pull up the Right Now Media website. And we may go a few minutes late here. You okay? I'm doing great. all right, Right Now Media, the other tab there. All right, great, great resource. If you don't have a login to Right Now Media, call the church office. Get on Right Now Media. Absolutely free to you. The church pays for a subscription to anyone who is a member or a friend of Right Now Media. All right, go to the browse up there in the top right. And then this gives you all different categories, and then books of the Bible down there. So click on that. They have lots of video series that they have these expert teachers leading us through books of the Bible. You want to study the Gospel of Mark. There it is. Francis Chan. Go through the Gospel of Mark with Francis Chan. You can go through Judges with J.D. Greer. Yeah, you could just settle down. A lot of times there are free Bible study guides along with these as well. An unbelievable resource. Now, I know some of you are saying, you got to be kidding me, Todd. I got 8 kids, I got 5 rabbits, I got 3 horses, and I got 2 cows, and you want me to read my Bible? I got to take care of my kids. Go back to my PowerPoint there. I know that. I've been there. Read to your children. You know, here's the thing. We make time for what we think is important, don't we? We make time for what we think is important. We make time for our kids to get them to the ball games. We make sure they're at band practice. We make sure they're doing their homework. Things, but we've got to make sure that our kids are in the Bible. And if all you do going through these young kids' years is read a Bible story to your kids at 9 o'clock at night, man, it's feeding you as well, and it's feeding your children also. All right, I'm going to let you go here in just a minute. I want to share with you one more passage of Scripture. It's Psalm 119. Again, this is a beautiful psalm about how wonderful and how blessed we are to have the Word of God. But look what it says. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your Word. You know, this isn't just for old people. You know, young people read the Bible too. I want to challenge our 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 12th, 11th graders. Get in the Bible. Quit watching videos. Read the Bible. You know, quit watching so many videos. Every time you watch a video, say, have I read my Bible? Give 5 minutes to the Bible. You do that for me? Some of you are nodding. All right. Quit watching so many videos. Those things have bazillion views. They're worthless. All right. This is not. How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. And then this is what I want to challenge you with this morning. I will not neglect your word. All right. If you are in this with me, if you want to be a person who is in the Bible, wonderful words of life, say it with me. I will not neglect your word. That's how we're going to know God. That's how we're going to have life. That's how we're going to be able to live life to the fullest by being in the Word of God. You want to know Him? He's right there. He's revealed Himself to us. The God, the Creator of the universe. He wants to share His heart with you. I want to know the Lord. Let's stand up and sing.
Jesus, let us come to know you. Let us see you face to face. Touch us, hold us, use us, mold us. Draw us. us home.
Good morning again. Welcome, everybody that might be visiting with us today. It's good to have you here today. Good to be here together. And other than Todd getting into my time, he did a great job of leading us through the Bible, and it's good. Certainly the truth of the Lord, and we need to be reminded of that. You know, one of the things I don't think you mentioned that has been really useful for me, and that's the Bible audio. And so I go through the Bible every morning in about 15 minutes by listening to it. So there's some really good apps out there as well. If it's harder for you to read it or maybe your time, you can drive and listen is a great way as well. I want to thank Anthony and Andrew for leading us in prayer and through communion this morning. Great communion meditation, Anthony. And I want to remind you of our prayer list and just continue to lift up. Actually, the only one that's currently on the most immediate prayer list is Debbie Black. And I know Debbie is scheduled for surgery in the morning. She's been in the hospital for 100 days. And so let's keep Debbie really lifted up as she goes into that tomorrow, that maybe this will be the thing that enables her to return home. There's ongoing needs that are listed there that we sometimes forget about. I just want to read their names. Chris Reinch, Sean Landrum, Larry Long,